Welcome to Postcards to the Universe with Melissa Caprio. Do you believe in magic? What if you were told that all you had to do was get a little creative and work a magic spell to bring anything you can imagine into your life? Here on Postcards to the Universe, we will share manifesting, tips, postcards, creativity, abundance, and prosperity. Here is your host, Melissa Caprio.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to Postcards to the Universe with Melissa, creating the life you crave. It's Wednesday. How are you guys doing? I hope you're doing well. Wednesday is my favorite day of the week. I love doing my show, and I hope everybody is staying cool, you know, because it's been a hot one this summer. I mean, it's always hot here in Florida, but I hear it's hot everywhere else, too, so I hope you guys are staying cool and hydrated. I have a really cool guest today. She is energy healer and alchemist Tracy Hill, and she's going to join me out here in just a few minutes. I want to give a shout out to all my regulars who listen to my show every week, keep coming back for more and download my show. See, I get a bunch of downloads each week on the podcast. So thank you, please. I hope you keep coming back. And if you like the show, you know, share it with your friends. If you're tuning in for the first time, welcome. And I also hope you keep coming back and listening for more. And just so you know, that if you don't get a chance to listen to the show live, you can always listen to the replay. We always replay the shows. It's on OM Times. And it's also on my podcast, Postcards to the Universe. So you can always find the shows. A little bit about me. I'm an author. I'm a photographer. I'm an artist. I have a book, and it came out right before COVID. Unfortunately, it released right before COVID started, but it's called Postcards to the Universe, Harness the Universe's Power and Manifest Your Dreams. And in my book, I have 30 manifesting stories that I took photos of. I got these manifesting postcards. I have people create them. They're sort of like mini vision boards. I guess that would be the easiest way to explain it. And so I would photograph them, and people would reach out to me when what they put on the postcard showed up in the reality. And that's what the book is about. So there's 30 of those stories in the book. And then I have a bunch of exercises in the different areas of our lives, like love and money and health and career, about how to create and manifest so much more of that. I broke it down and, you know, the major life themes, you know, that we all want more of, more abundance in. So if you're interested, and I hope that you are, you can go to any of your favorite bookstores and they'll order it for you if they don't have it. Or you can find it online, Barnes & Noble and Amazon. There's like so many really cool stories in the book about transformation and inspiration and manifesting. So please check it out. And I ask every week for people to send me a manifesting postcard. I love getting them in the mail. If you want to know how to make one or where to send it, just go to postcardstotheuniverse.com. And I tell you exactly how to create one, and the address is listed on there, where to send it to. And if you sign up for my Join My Movement, you get a free gift on manifesting. So, you know, sign up if you're interested. I don't send a lot of newsletters out. I don't like to bombard people with too much mail, because, you know, we all get so much. If you like Facebook, I have a group. It's a public group. It's called Postcards of Love. And you can join me and you can share uplifting and funny posts on there. You know, everything good and light and fun in the world. That's what we want to bring more of into our lives. I've mentioned this a few times, and I'm going to keep mentioning it each week. I'm doing a workshop on Thursday evenings. It's called Manifesting Through Gratitude, A Visual Journey. And it runs from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern time. It's online. The course is a 5-week course, and then I'll recycle them over and over again. So, yeah, we're going to be working with gratitude. So the workshop is for you if you're feeling uninspired in your life, if your heart is aching for change, if you're uncertain about your future, or if you have no energy for the things that you used to enjoy. And if you're thriving on stress and coffee just to get you through the day, then this is definitely the workshop for you. We're gonna make and prioritize what is already in our lives that we're grateful for. Sometimes we forget about what we already have. You know, we always think we want more, we want more, we want more. We're always in that wanting stage. We're never in the gratitude stage of, oh, I'm so thankful for my home, for my family, for the food on my table. So we're really going to focus on that. And the more we focus on that, the universe has a wonderful way of surprising us with even more. So in the workshop, we're going to cover living in gratitude by using writing exercises. And we're also going to be doing a daily visual gratitude practice using our camera phones to help us get into alignment with the energy of abundance. So it's going to be broken down in sections. Week one focuses on worthiness and self-love. Week two covers health and wellness. Week three looks at our money story and financial abundance. Week four, we go into our personal relationships, family, friends, and of course, romance. And then the final week, we're going to be dedicated to a personal check-in, sharing our experiences, open questions and answers, and anything, any blocks that came up for us. So I give a bunch of writing exercises in each area, and I'm also going to have some photo prompts to help shift our thinking and start living in gratitude. And each week I'm going to have people in the course make a manifesting postcard in that area that we're working on. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of creative homework, and it's really going to shift our energy. That's really the goal. It's shifting our energy because everything is attracted to our energy. So if you're interested and you want to know more, you know, reach out to me for any questions, or if you go to find F-I-N-D uniquely, U-N-I-Q-U-E-L-Y-U, the letter U.com / Melissa Caprio gives you all the information about the course. And at the end, you're going to have a beautiful visual gratitude journal. I love gratitude journals. And this one's going to be a visual one. Now, each week, I share a magical message on all my social medias. It's an image of a manifesting postcard, usually one I receive, or an affirmation that I like to focus on for the week. So this past week's because I want it to, like, I believe affirmations, the more we work with them, the more they become part of our DNA, right? Because we're so used to saying terrible things to ourselves. So I'm trying to be conscious of the things that I say to myself. So this week's is, I am ready to receive love. So whatever that looks like in your life, whether it's romantic, whether it's friends, whether it's family, think about, are you ready to receive love? And what does that look like in your life? What do you have to do to receive that love that you deserve? Maybe you have to give it. I don't know. I mean, that's only a question you can answer. I can't answer that for you. But I am ready to receive love. So just feel what that feels like. Okay. So let me tell you a little bit about my guest, Tracy. So Tracy A. Hill is a coach who specializes in helping people heal physically by raising vibrations and releasing negative emotions and attachments using subtle energy. Using several techniques, she has learned how to allow healing to anyone as long as they are ready. Hill was finishing up her master's degree in kinesiology and was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. Being a self-described health freak, this news was frightening. Doctors told her she would be in a wheelchair the rest of her life if she didn't take medication. Her diagnosis came on the heels of becoming a Chicago firefighter. This is what she says. I felt the pressure to not only put out fires at work, but also within my own body. I chose to figure out how to heal myself through food, exercise, and eventually dealing with my emotions. I learned that emotions create blockages in the body on a subtle level. The more negative emotions we stuff down, the deeper the wounds go. I decided to help myself by energetically releasing trapped and ancestral emotions so that my cellular bodies could heal. As suppressed emotions left my body, the healing began. The physical body is the result of our vibrations that are inherent within each of us, but also picked up from people and the environment around us. Tuning in and adjusting our vibration to match that which you desire requires change, but will ultimately lead you to that which you truly want in life, which is love, peace, joy, and abundance. So to learn more about Tracy, you can visit her website at consciousrevolution.coach. Welcome, Tracy. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you, Melissa. I love all of the things you're doing, by the way. The books and the postcards. It's so beautiful. I'm like, oh, she's such a beautiful soul. Thanks for having me.
Oh, my God. I'm really excited to talk to you because, truthfully, I mean, the way I use creativity and, you know, to shift my energy, because it's really our energy that is, like, you know, you're going to talk about it, you know, when it's trapped emotions and your energy is low, about how that manifests dis-ease in the body, right? So we really just want to shift what is going on emotionally in our emotional body. So you're doing that on your, I do it through my creativity because that's what works for me, but you're going to tell us about how you do that and what tools that you use. So why don't you share a little bit about what's going on? Like what happened? You were going on your life and then you weren't feeling well and you like, and you got a diagnosis. What was going on?
So, you know, I was in the Army and I say that because, you know, we had to do the Buck marches and we had to do all of the heavy things in the military. And then I fractured my spine when I was in college and then, was diagnosed with MS. So it was all of this masculine energy that was coming, you know, that was a very abundance in my life. I was very much in the masculine energy. And obviously fire department, very masculine. And it's funny you say creativity because honestly, the way to heal is through creativity. But I think most people think of creativity like art, painting, music. Right. But creativity comes in so many forms. And it's beautiful that you've stepped into your creativity because that is how you balance out the masculine and feminine. Mm-hmm. And I had to learn that I couldn't be in my masculine 24/7 because I was constantly working out or studying or learning something or, you know, doing. And the feminine side is about being and creativity. I mean, we females create human life and that's what creativity is. And understanding that, and again, this was not like revolutionary on the spot. This took years for me to come to the realization that, man, I'm really way too much in my masculine. And seeing that the feminine is really what gives you the balance to rest and digest and, you know, tap into the other part of you that's trying to speak out and give you the ideas and give you the dreaming side so that the masculine side can then go and create it, you know, bring it to life. We need both. And so it was really deflating to my ego to realize that, okay, I'm sick now and I have to figure this out. There was not much information. But as I started diving into, you know, well, why did I get MS and no one else? Seeing all the people that got MS, you know, it all comes down to stress. Well, why did I not handle stress well? And it comes down to emotions. Mm. And it's how I process my emotions.
Mm. So how did you process your emotions? Like what was your before? And then you got the awareness and then you said, okay, I'm going to, okay, I got the diagnosis, but I'm not going to accept what they're saying is going to happen. So how did you go from, you know, A to basically Z? Because I'm sure there was a lot in between.
Yeah, there is.
Right?
Well, exactly. True. Well, truth be told, I'm stubborn. That's just like my nature. And when they said you're going to be in a wheelchair the rest of your life, I'm like, no, don't tell me that. No, I'm not.
Right.
You know, I'm like, ain't happening. Yeah. Like a 3-year-old temper tantrum. But I didn't know what that meant. And the medication was scary. Mm-hmm. So I literally did a year of research. This is when like, it was just Google. That was the only really search engine out there. And I dove into everything, what back then would be considered conspiracy theory, but now is all coming to light, about pesticides and vaccines and everything. And I still couldn't understand, okay, well, why me? Why my body versus someone else who's kind of similar?
Right.
And as it's like pulling a weed, and maybe you didn't get the full root. So, but you know, beneath the surface is the root, but then beneath that, there's still more roots that are going to get ready to pop up. So I had to really go down. And so part of my journey was quantum healing hypnosis technique, which I don't do. I had done for me, which if your audience knows or not, but it's Dolores Cannon's technique for going into a hypnosis state to understand your past. And a lot was uncovered there that could never have been done in regular hypnosis or even in talk therapy. So when I got this information about my past, it still didn't explain why I was, why my body. And what I had started doing, and this was before podcasts were even podcasts. It was some kind of talk show on something that I happened to listen to about emotional clearing. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's really interesting to me. And so it's Brad Nelson's technique. I tried it on myself, and I don't know how I knew it worked looking back, but I knew it worked then. And I kept doing it, and I kept coming up with all these emotions. So I had about 700,000 emotions to release.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, well, most people have about a million. When I start with clients, I'm like, don't be alarmed. You have probably about a million. It's normal.
Great.
So, yeah, I know, right?
Doesn't surprise me, though. It really doesn't surprise me. Okay.
So I got rid of a few. Okay. And I felt better. I got rid of my egg allergy doing this. I got rid of my severe cat allergy. I now have a cat. And all from releasing these emotions that affect organs. And so as I started to tie the two together, like fear affects your kidneys and bladder, which, you know, when you think about going through a haunted house and you get scared, you want to pee yourself, right? So
yeah,
it makes sense. So as I started to release these things, my body just kind of started naturally healing, but I was still uncovering more and more. And I'm like, holy cow. So then I realized that there was ancestral and the ancestral emotions are really a stronghold on us, because it's like, if any of your listeners have that thing where they're like, I don't know why, but I struggle with XYZ, like maybe it's weight, maybe it's finances, whatever it is, and you just have no reasoning for it, it's probably ancestral. So when I go into my clients and we find the ancestral trapped emotions, those are the most helpful to release, because there's just like this blanket lifted off of you.
Do you use kinesiology to help them find that? Is that what you use, the muscle testing? Yeah. Because like, how would somebody know it? But I know a lot of, I mean, can you just basically just briefly give a little what kinesiology is for people who are listening, who are like, what are they talking about? You know, they might not even know.
Yeah. Thank you. Sometimes I talk and I'm like, I forget. People may not know.
No, I do too. I have to remind myself to tell people what we're talking about, because I know what it is. I do it on myself a lot when I buy herbs and stuff. So I test myself to see what's good for me and what's not.
So everyone, every single person has the ability to tell if their subconscious is being truthful or not truthful. So it's true or not true. It's not true or false. It's true or not true. So it's true for you or not true for you.
Right.
So what happens is I do the sway test. I don't know if you do the arm test, but I do the sway test.
I do the sway test. Oh, easier for me to do it that way.
Yeah.
Personally. Okay.
So I do it virtually. I don't have to be next to the person, but I will get permission to tap into your subconscious. And then using that permission, I stand and ask questions, yes or no questions. And if I move forward, it's a yes. And if I move backwards, it's a not yes. So for example, we could literally test anything, you know, do I want to change jobs? Should I eat this food? You know, is it appropriate to, you know, leave my spouse, whatever it is. And your subconscious has all the answers. Whereas your logical mind, the left brain, tries to reason things through and, you know, come up right. with excuses, but the subconscious has the answer. So we go through that way. And so what I do then is I find out which emotions are ready to be released at that time, because we can't release them all.
Okay.
Releasing the emotions literally changes your DNA. So it stops those emotions from going backward and forward in your ancestry line, and it upgrades your DNA. So if we were to take you, we're talking about the scale of consciousness, which I can explain if it needs to be. But if we were to take you from like a 200 up to a 500, you would actually feel like you wouldn't know what to do with yourself, because your body would be so shifted in energy and frequency that you would feel like, oh my God, I can't handle this. So it's a slower process. That's why I call myself a subtle energy alchemist. But as we find them, they come off. And it's like, I call it artichoke. I stopped using onion because I like artichoke better, because we're always trying to get to the heart of the artichoke. And that's really what we're trying to uncover, is peeling back these layers to let your heart really express itself. The heart can express when it's covered in these layers of muck. So like the lotus flower, it needs a space to release and open up and shine, so that it can project out and you attract more of that same energy. But when you're covered in so many layers of emotions that aren't serving, and it becomes ego, then the heart is just kind of set aside and forgotten about, and we project from ego. So the layers are just all of the emotions that get removed as we go on and on and on. And sometimes we can remove 5 at a time. Sometimes we can move 20 at a time. It's just fully up to the person that I'm working on how many can be released. And then we go into the ancestral, which is a little bit different scenario. Not much. I mean, it's still this way test, but we sometimes have to find out more information and just get them out. And then it's again, the ancestral line gets healed, because you can get 62 generations of emotions, and that's a lot. So if you have, you know, lack of love or grief that just keeps getting passed down over and over and over again, it's accumulating. And again, if you have an issue that you just can't understand why you have it, especially things like MS, chronic fatigue, lupus, you know, all the ones that are autoimmune that don't really have a cure, those are all baggage from your ancestors. Thank you so much, ancestors.
It's fascinating. I'm hearing more and more about the ancestral DNA, you know, and it's not DNA in the same way that it's like, you know, if you're blue eye colors in your family, it's not like that. It's the emotion is literally like transmuted onto you somehow. Like I don't know why that happens. Do you understand why that would be occurring? Because I'm hearing more and more about it, especially the more I do this show.
Yes. Well, I can explain it in the best way I can explain it, because this is literally getting into quantum physics now.
Okay.
But because there is no such thing as time.
Okay.
And when you're talking about frequency, frequency does not know time or distance. It doesn't abide by those laws. So we have quantum entanglement. And quantum entanglement states that you can take one atom in one spot and one in, it could be in another planet. And what one does, the other one does instantaneously. Yeah. There's no time or space. So when you're born, your grandmother already had your cells in her. So meaning that you're, like you said, the DNA, it's not about like eye color, any of that. It's literally about the emotions, the frequencies that are getting handed down. And you are already started when your grandmother's born. So you, Melissa, you had your grandchild already going. Which is crazy, but it's all based on frequency. So if you can think of a radio wave that's always there. The radio waves are always there. You just have to have the device and then tune into the right station. Then you'll find that radio station. So everything always already exists. It's just that you have to tune into it. So as an example, because I like to use this example because people say like, oh, cancer runs in my family. But research has proven that it is not something that's handed down. It's a frequency, an emotional frequency. 95% of cancer is an emotional frequency that's handed down. And I think that says so much, because if you want to stop that in your family line, you have to understand that you have to tackle the emotional frequency and not the genetics. It's not a genetic thing. It's a it's a cellular DNA thing.
Oh my God, it's so fascinating. It's just, the more science is catching up with it more and more. I mean, that's a lot of what Joe Dispenza talks about in his work, about that we can change our DNA, right? Just because you're in your family line, if so many people had, you know, breast cancer, let's say, it doesn't mean that you're necessarily going to manifest breast cancer. You got to find out the emotional frequency and deal with that so that it doesn't show up in your body. It's like so interesting and it can be so deep. And I do love that science is finally starting to be able to study it, right? Because that's only going to help, you know, future generations, especially as time goes on. But there's so much more I want to get into, and I know we're coming up like in like 10 seconds to the halftime mark, so why don't we take our break now, and then we'll come back in a couple in a few minutes and we'll continue our conversation. Guys, stay tuned, and I'm going to be back in just a few with Tracy Hill.
Everyone has a story. I have a story. You have a story. We all have a story. As I see it, you have three choices. Allow your story to define you, use it to excuse you, or utilize it as a method to empower you. It's your life. You have the power. You choose. Rewrite your story on finduniquelyyou.com.
Hi. I'm Melissa Caprio from Postcards to the Universe, creating the life you crave. Do you believe in magic? What if I told you all you had to do was get a little creative and work a dream spell to bring anything you can imagine into your life? Well, guess what? I've got the spell for you. Postcards to the Universe, a global movement for manifestation, is a casting magical tool for you to use whenever you want. How does living in passion sound to you? Join me in my movement where you get to create in the magical playground. Let's think outside the box and do some playful conjuring. By casting out our desires with a manifesting postcard, we explore our hearts and allow the alchemy of our dreams to appear. And don't forget to tune in each week here on Om Times Radio with my show, Postcards to the Universe, Creating the Life You Crave, at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. I share tips on creativity, abundance, and prosperity, and you will be introduced to the coolest guests, trailblazers, mystics, and creatives who enrich our lives. Hey guys, welcome back. If you're just joining me, I'm speaking with Tracy Hill today, and we're talking about energy healing. That's what she does. She is an energy healer and an alchemist, and she helps shift her clients' energy to release these blockages that cause dis-ease in our body. So, Tracy, I was thinking, like, during the break, why is it so many of us have a hard time letting go of an emotion? Like, maybe is it the ancestral, that when that comes in, like, is it like maybe we have a hard time letting go of anger or rage or sadness or grief? And we can't, no matter what kind of work we're doing, therapy, you know, whatever, it just won't leave us. Like, what? Because I know there's a lot of people that I talk to on a regular basis that walk around and they're, I don't know why I feel this way. And I don't know why I feel this way. Like, they can't name it, you know?
That's a really great question. And I was actually talking to someone somewhat about this topic. So first, like, and I'm not knocking talk therapy, but it is really outdated. all of my clients have been in talk therapy and they're like, it doesn't work. They've been doing it for 10 years. And if you're doing it for more than 5 years, it's not working. My goal is for you to figure out, you know, the rest of your journey, like it gives you the tools, right? And that should be everyone. Like, I don't heal you. You heal yourself. No one else can heal you. So it's giving you the tools. So then you have to remember that our emotions are protecting us from something. And it's almost always from childhood. Sometimes it is ancestral. Sometimes it's from the moment you're born. Your mom, your mother was going through something during pregnancy. And gave that to you. And I find that a lot, like the mother-child bond, if there was a lot of issues during pregnancy, they actually come out to the children. The child gets it and then they don't know, like you said, why can't I get rid of this? I don't understand, because they didn't understand what their mom was going through. And if you interviewed your mother, you would probably find that there was some stuff that, you know, she didn't ever want to admit, but she was going through. Maybe she was resentful. She was pregnant, but then had you and was fine. But the resentment, and which is anger, like really presented itself frequency wise to you.
Yeah.
So the emotions, though, if they're from childhood, they're there to protect us. And when the idea, number one, the idea of letting go of something that has protected us, is scary for people, because then it's like, well, what's going to protect me? Now, this is all, of course, and subconscious. It's not something you logically, you know, that doesn't make sense. But your logic does not run your life. Your subconscious runs 95% of your life, period. Yeah. There's nothing you can do about that. All your habits, your thoughts, your beliefs, like you said, people talking nasty to themselves, that's all unconscious. You're not doing it on purpose.
Yeah.
So it has a protection mechanism, but two, people don't want to dive into the reasons that they're struggling. Like, they just don't want to face it. They'd rather do other things, like watch TV, drink alcohol, like me, overexercise, just ignore it. I don't want to look at that. I don't want to face it. And so it's easier to ignore and question and, you know, blame other situations or people for what the situation you're in or the struggles you're having. But the reality is, it's all on you. No one did anything to you.
Right.
It's the way you interpreted it. And now it's a coping mechanism. So that anger is a coping mechanism. That fear is a coping mechanism. The grief is a coping mechanism for not wanting to work on the reason you took it in that way. Like, I'll give you two examples. So one, I have impatience. Okay, that was a really, really big thing I had to work on this lifetime, impatience. And so I remember my kids were little and I'm trying to get them to school and we have like 15 minutes to get there and they're still getting their shoes on. And my daughter's over like tying her shoes nice and slow and then she messes up and then she's redoing it. And I'm like, Sophia, wait, it's gonna be late. And then I heard my mom and me. I'm like, and it was like that was like an immediate you know, I got like, oh, horrible. And then I'd always be like, you know, the longest line in the grocery store and you know, just so then I realized, okay, universe, I see you. I see what you're doing here. You're just playing games with me. So when I turned it around and made it funny and I would laugh about it, it literally just absolved itself. It doesn't mean I still don't have to keep my patience in check, because it's something I still have to kind of have in my awareness.
Sure.
But that's something that I was taught when I was younger and it just became a part of my existence. But I worked on it a lot. But then I had one that was fear of abandonment. And I woke up one day in my late 30s crying, realizing that this was a past life issue, many past life issues. I had the actual whole thing play out in my head. And it was this severe fear of abandonment, which literally was not from this lifetime. So I had nothing happen in my lifetime that would warrant a fear of abandonment. Nothing at all. So you know, sometimes we have to be open to why we're struggling with the mm-hmm. emotions we're struggling with. But more importantly, it's being aware of what you're struggling with and being okay with it without judgment, and being open to wanting to turn it around into something positive. It's a gift. It's a lesson. And what can you use it for to help yourself become a better person?
Right. So what techniques do you, I know you use different techniques. Like, what technique do you feel is the most beneficial when you realize, okay, I have an issue I have to work on, you know, whether it's patience or judgment or rage or, you know, sadness or grief. And you're like, okay, I see it. It keeps showing up in my life. I see you. Okay. What do I need to do to release it?
Well, so what I use now, I wouldn't recommend mm-hmm. for beginners, because I literally will talk to it and become best friends with it. And that's really hard for okay. someone in the beginning yeah. to do who's never done it. And I don't have too much that comes forward anymore. I've worked on myself for the last 20 years, but for a beginner, mm-hmm. I always say, what is your main trigger in life or your struggle? Like, for some people like me, it was impatience. Mm-hmm. I'm impatient. Okay. Or like, yeah. you can even go as far as like, when you drive your car in traffic, what mm-hmm. is going through your head? Like, are you judging other people? Are you saying, oh my God, they're driving too fast? Or, oh my God, they're driving too slow? Or why don't they speed up? Or why am I always late? Or, because yeah. that will be, those are very good clues as to what's going on in your subconscious mind mm-hmm. About everything, really.
Yeah.
And then it's like, okay, now take that. And where does that keep showing up? So I call it the cycle. What cycles are you experiencing over and over and over again? Because that is where you need to start. So for somebody, it could be mm-hmm. not being heard. I know a lot of females have that. I have my throat chakra was blocked. People don't hear you, or you're afraid to speak up. So you have to first see the cycle, which is difficult to do. And then ask yourself, where is it showing up? And then ask yourself, when did it first show up? And this is, for some people, this is the hard part, because you have to go way, 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 way back. Like, the earliest time you remember not being able to speak your voice or not being heard. And you have to find that scenario, and then you go in and replay that scenario over and over and over again until it no longer bothers you, or you reframe it so that it turns into black and white. It gets quieter, it fades away. And these are all hypnosis techniques, so you can do them conscious, but you have to practice it. So,
and you help people do that, right? You help people do that. That's what they would work with you. Yeah. That's a really, really interesting listening to you talk. I'm like, okay, I can see where, see why you are. Maybe I should call Tracy after the show and have a session. Oh, Lord. Oh, my God. So how are you now? Like, how are you feeling that you've done all this work on yourself? How long ago did you get the diagnosis first? Has it been 20 years or?
23. I was diagnosed in 2000 in May. Okay. And I'm fabulous. Really fabulous. Oh. Life doesn't get much better at this point. So, I'm getting close to retiring from the fire department and doing mm-hmm. this full time. I have some balls I'm juggling and, with this business, because I enjoy so many things. I'm getting my doctorate in integrative medicine so that I can reach even more people a little more legally, really, really heal them for real. But everyone who's able to heal, and that's, I think my big message is that you are fully capable of healing, but you need to believe it mm-hmm. and know that you are capable. Like, 100% you are capable of. I'm not saying it's easy. I don't have a quick fix by any means. Right. And if someone tells you they have one, I would maybe go find someone else. But, and I don't have all the answers either. I'm not for everybody. But I do know that what I've done for myself 100% mm-hmm. works for people who are open to it and are ready to receive it. But not everyone, you know, everyone's in a different stage.
Of course.
So,
of course.
You know, like,
a lot of people don't believe in this. People are very much, you know, they think, okay, you got to go to your, you know, your regular GP and they tell you you have something and they give you a medication and that's it. And you have to accept it. And they do accept it. And that's okay. I mean, if that's where they're at, you have to believe that, or just even be able to consider, just to consider there may be another way. Maybe we just are just discovering it now, right? I mean, just possible. It has to be possible.
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's a really great question to ask yourself when, if you decide to kind of like tiptoe into this a little. It's like,
right,
okay, let me just pretend that I could heal. What would that look like? And I can tell you that for a lot of people, no matter what illness or disease you have, it is a, it's a crutch, because if you were to heal, you wouldn't get the attention. And this illness or disease gives you the attention, while it's negative probably, or not the kind of attention you really want, it's still giving you the attention that you need, when really you just need to love yourself.
Right.
Because when you don't love yourself, you're looking for all these outside things to make you feel better, like food or alcohol or an illness. And that's 99% of the time, that's what it is that we're just looking for something else. And we have shut off communication with our higher self, who is telling us what we want. And again, that goes back to the right brain creativity side. And, you know, it's like, the left brain side likes the addictions to keep us in this mental cycle of thinking and over intellectualizing. Or you shut off the right brain side that wants to help you slow down and figure things out, but you're too busy thinking over here. So, and at, I was a member of that club. So that's what I know.
Right. As many of us are. Usually it takes something to happen to sort of shake us up. That's kind of what it seems to be. Right. And it's and it's not pleasant. It's very painful and scary. And then we start to say, you know, maybe maybe I need to look at this in a different way. I imagine that your fellow firefighters probably get a lot of benefit from you that they didn't even realize they were getting. Because I imagine the job, I have some friends who are in police and fire, and I know how stressful the job is and how much you take on. You know, you see the things that us lay people don't see on a regular basis. So that has to affect you on some level. So how are your fellow firefighters dealing with the pain and the stuff that they see on a regular basis? Are you helping some of them and some of the work that you're doing?
Funny.
Are they open to it?
My husband is also, he's a captain on the fire department, and he actually just had his full awakening. So, and he was not awake before at all. So it's funny to see his transition. And we talk about this often, because it's like, we know the firemen need a lot of help and the police, but they're so, you know, we use humor to help us move through the things we see, because we see some really gnarly things.
Yeah, I know.
And that becomes a coping mechanism. Sarcasm is definitely a form of anger. So, you know, people think like, oh, he's sarcastic, so funny. But really, that's a form of anger. And I see it a lot of sarcasm. And I know that they're struggling with not being able to speak their voice with anger. Like, it's good and healthy to express your anger appropriately. But when you use sarcasm, it's at the expense of somebody else. So not only are you hurting yourself, but you're hurting someone else. So back to your question, the firemen know kind of what I do, and I help some of them kind of, but they don't know the full extent of what I do, because they're just... Most of them aren't really ready for it. They don't see the other side, that like they could really be whole and complete. So they continue to use alcohol, and like we haven't drank in 10 years or so. So they use alcohol, and they use sarcasm, and they use, you know, TikTok, and you know, whatever. They use all their things, and
as a distraction.
Yeah.
I wish I could. Yeah, well, I want Thank you. So just this can lead to that because this affects them, but it affects all of us. How does, you know, outside vibration affect us physically? You know, what we see in the world or in the dynamics of wherever we work or family or relationships, like how do we take that on? Like, is there a way we can protect ourselves from taking on all that outside noise and vibration?
Yeah, that's a great point. So the first thing I always have my clients do, and you can do this now, is there's a few things. So your pineal gland is an actual crystalline, it's made of crystals, antenna inside your brain, shaped like a pine cone, and it reacts to all frequencies. So everything is made of frequency, everything, right. Even your thoughts are made of frequency. So frequencies never... It never goes away. It can be transmuted, but it never goes away. So meaning that when you say bad things about yourself, that's a low vibration frequency, and that will lower your frequency, and your pineal gland will react as such.
Okay.
Now, so the one thing I do have my clients do is, one, stop watching the news, all news. I don't care where it's coming from, newspaper, TV, social media. Zero news. And I had a client, she really couldn't do it. She did it for a week and she's like, I can't. So she's addicted to the drama. Okay.
Oh,
I call that drama. But a lot of people are, surprisingly, can't live without. Well, how do I know what's going on? You don't need to know. I promise you. Because before television, you didn't know what was going on.
Right.
So that's like a one must. Number two is like being careful of the water you drink and the kind of, it's all the things that you absorb. So whether it's external or internal. So it's like water and food. It's what you watch. So even the music you listen to, because the music was changed from 432 to 444, and 444 is actually damaging to your brain. And we want to go back, and some artists kept 432 hertz.
Okay.
So there's, you know, sleeping in absolute darkness, changing your breathing. Humming is a really great way to activate your pineal gland. And so, you know, EMFs are a really big deal right now, because I think they're even going up to 13G, which has been in, like, the works. So all of these things do affect you because, like I said, frequency does not know time and space.
Right.
But obviously things that are closer to you will affect you more greatly. So if you have plants around you, you have Beethoven playing in the background, you're drinking high vibration water, you have natural sunlight coming in, you do get sun on your body, that's very important. No sunscreen, get sun on your skin, talking really nice to yourself, meditating, all of these things help raise your vibration, where obviously the other side will lower it. So I always say just strive for more than 50% of high vibration input, and that's what you will output. But, you know, I can't control what you do, so do your best.
Do your best. Do you have, like, a daily routine that you do to sort of set the space for yourself or the energy for the day? Like, when you wake up, do you, like, start with a meditation or with yoga or whatever you do? Like, do you have that as part of your routine?
I have a laundry list of things I do. So depending on the day, kind of funny. My husband's like, you are very high maintenance when it comes to your routine. I'm like, I know. So it doesn't all happen in the same sequence or even necessarily every day. I have a AO scanner, which is my like free giveaway. So I scan myself every day. It's a frequency scanner that will tell me what's out of balance, and then it will give me harmonics to play to bring me back into balance.
Okay.
So I do that every day. That only takes like 5 minutes, but I will use it. I do hapé almost every morning, which is an indigenous ground tobacco that you administer to yourself to help ground you and connect with Mother Earth.
Okay.
So I use the harmonics from my scanner while I'm meditating with the hapé. So I always in the summer go out and ground in the morning for the most part, and I try to sun gaze. So I'm barefoot in the grass, sun gazing at the sun. I drink water. I have like all these things. I'll sometimes do Qigong massage so that I get the lymphatic system flowing. I've been really into animal flow yoga as of lately. So I've been doing that. But, you know, it all depends on, like, my schedule, my work schedule, all that stuff. So, but those are the definites in pretty much every day.
So now you mentioned something. You have a, what did you call it, a scanner? What kind of a scanner is it? Frequency.
It's called an AO scanner.
What is that? For
Alpha Omega.
Okay.
So this is Russian technology. The cosmonauts, the Russian astronauts, the team developed this machine. It was a $38,000 giant machine. In the 80s, when the cosmonauts would go up into orbit, they would send them frequencies to help them stay healthy and balanced. So this machine is now the size of a phone, because it's a phone. That can scan you. So it'll scan you for your, it's not diagnostic, but it will scan your frequencies. So it will scan your chakras, your meridians, your bones, your skin, your eyes, your emotions, your voice, your, and then it can send you anything. So if you are looking for abundance, it'll, it can send you abundance. If you're looking for, you know, clear skin, or, you know, you know, want to get rid of acne, or you have a headache, or whatever it is, it will, it can send that. Again, it doesn't know time or space, so it'll send it to whoever the target is. So you're in Florida, I'm in Chicago, I can send you frequencies to help balance you out. And then, you know, you're balanced for that moment. But, you know, your frequencies change constantly, so it's something that's more maintenance-based. But it's just such a great tool. I use it every single day for everything.
That's so interesting. That is really interesting. Well, I know a little bit more about that. I actually met a woman who, her and her husband, she tried to explain it, and it's way above my head, but basically you say she takes your voice, and she does, from just the sound of your voice, she can tell you everything where there's deficiencies in your body, and if there's any diseases anywhere, and she sends you frequencies that you can listen to on a regular basis to correct those issues. It's like, I listen to them every day. You know, she can tell me, she didn't know anything about me. She could see that, because I had chicken pox as a kid. There was chicken pox virus in my body, you know, the, just everything. It was like, it's fascinating as hell. Like, I was like totally blown away. So I kind of, a little bit of no, but that's really, really cool. Yeah, that is like, and she talks so fast. I love her, but she's so scientific and she talks so fast. I'm like, wait, 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 you got to explain. I don't understand.
Do you remember her name? Who it was?
Yeah, I have her name. I can send you after. I can send you her contact if you're interested. Yeah, I'll send you.
Well, we have the same scanner. Yeah, it's the same scanner. We have the same scanner.
Oh,
so yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You explained it a little bit easier for me to understand, though. She talks in science language.
So, I try to bring it down. Yeah.
No, it's cool. I mean, we only have like a couple minutes. Is there anything that you want to say to people listening that you feel like is really important, or that we should know about the kind of work that you do?
Yeah. So I know this can all be overwhelming, and I always like to have people walk away with something that they could just go do immediately. Literally, drink more water, breathe better, and get better sleep. And you can change a lot in your life by those three things. You're already doing them, so you might as well do them correctly. And I know I'm not giving you how to do them correctly right now, but those three things literally can change a lot in your life just by doing that. Sleep and breathing and water, the trifecta. I always talk about those. They're free, and you can figure out what works best for you. But, you know, sleep when it's dark, get outside in the sun when it's light, drink water throughout the day, and then breathe in your belly and not in your chest. You're going to be doing great, but you are whole and perfect just as you are. But if you want to change, I know a lot of this is like scary information, or it's a lot of information. Take one step. That's all it takes. One step. Stop watching the news. A lot of times that helps people tremendously. Stop watching the news. It doesn't matter what's going on, because it's all the same, recycled over and over. It's okay.
I know. I stopped watching a long time ago. I'm so thankful. So, Tracy, if people want to get in touch with you, what's the best way for them to do that?
They can go to my website, consciousevolution.coach, or they can find me on Facebook at Conscious Evolution Coach, and same on TikTok. I'm available through messaging. or emails that way.
Oh my God, it was such a pleasure talking to you, Trace. Thanks so much for being with me. This was really enlightening. All right, guys, also check out my workshop, Manifesting Through Gratitude, a visual journey at finduniquelyyou.com. Thanks for listening to Postcards to the Universe with Melissa, creating the life you crave. And I'm wishing everyone a wonderful week filled with joy, abundance, and love. Peace.